Instructions on Judgments by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
This morning we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The apostle is not done correcting the Corinthians. Many times I've said that if they hadn't been such a mess, we wouldn't have such great instruction on things we ought not do, and instruction on what we ought to do. God is faithful. You can depend on Him to guide you and help you, to keep you in this present life, and we praise the Lord for the freedom we have because Jesus Christ has given His life so that we can live just like many of our founders and those who have gone before us have given their lives for us. Blood, sweat, and tears and lives have been given that we might fly that flag and others might know that we are proud to be an American. I know the scripture says you're not supposed to be proud about certain things. I'm going to boast this morning on Christ and in Christ. And I'm thankful that He has given us reasons, good reasons, to boast about what He is doing, how He's accomplishing His purposes. When I read the book, things are going to get worse before it gets better. Praise God, we know the end of the story, don't we? We know the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious in the end, and Satan just doesn't know it yet. So, anyway, we're glad for that. Let's pray before we begin. When you think about it, prayer is the first thing we ought to do. Pray first, foremost, and pray when you don't know which way to go and what to do. Pray for the safety of those that are keeping us safe. Pray for, how should I put it? Pray for a confidence that God is in charge. That God will have His will and His way done. Not only our lives, but the lives of others. That they'll know the Lord and serve Him. Now, there's a lot of scriptures about judging. Okay? For example, judge not that you be not judged. But there's certain things that we can know are not right. And those things ought not be in our lives, right? If we're a believer, we ought to not have certain things in our lives. For example, we concluded our reading this morning listing a lot of things that we ought not be. Amen? I mean, there's a whole list there, but the apostle says this. I like this. Such were some of you. You were these bad things, these bad people. But praise the Lord, God came into your life. He began to work on you. He begins to change you, actually transform you, and make you to become what you ought to be. If you yield to the Spirit of God, listen to God's Word, follow those truths, God will change you. He will make you what that person He wants you to be. you know, I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I'm going to be. That's what we can say today. God is still working on me, shaping me, molding me, transforming me day by day. And I trust and pray that He's working on you too. I trust you. Ask Him in your heart to be your Savior. But you know what? That's not the finished product. God has something far better in mind. God wants to make us and shape us so that we will eventually not be able to sin any longer. Are you following me? I mean, that's God's plan. Will it be accomplished in this life? No. But there is a plan. God is preparing a place for us. God is working on us day by day in our lives. And He plans to use us in the future. In fact, we will judge the world during the millennial reign of Christ. And some of those thoughts are right here in this text. He says, "What are you doing? Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law?" In other words, take it to the court and let's litigate this thing. So what do? You're going to sue your fellow believer in Christ? He says, no. You can extract one of the least members in your body, in other words, the least spiritual in your body, and they ought to be able to discern between the two of you what's right and what's wrong. If you guys just can't get along, if you're at odds with one another, you know, I'm choosing Gary this morning because he's up to the task.
Because I'm odd.
Because what?
Because I'm odd.
You're odd. Well,
welcome to the club.
Yeah.
We are peculiar people.
Right.
We are different than the run-of-the-mill people. That's what the apostle himself said, aren't we? I mean, we're not like the world. We think different than the world. And praise God we do. Because if we didn't think different than the world, there'd be something wrong in here. Because the world is all about me. It's all about me. It's not about anybody else. When Christ comes into your life and the Holy Spirit gets control of your heart and mind, you begin to think different. You begin to think about others. You begin to think about their needs. What's important to them? Paul says, hey, listen guys, you ought to just take a fall instead of causing a scene and go down before the unbelievers and let them try the thing and see what they think is right. No, he said, don't do that. It'd be better if you got a fresh new convert and had them try you. Said, whoa. We've been talking about judges already this morning, haven't we? You think it's important for judges to make wise decisions?
Amen.
I do. Because judges can make all the difference in the world. We've had activist judges for a long time. They're litigating according to their own personal preferences instead of what the law says. We are a nation of laws and rules. And guess what they're based on? Right here in this old book. You can't get a better guide if you try. You can look all different kinds of places for guidelines for life. But there's nothing better than the Word of God. God has the truth. He's not afraid of the truth. He wants us to be thankful. We have a guide for our lives, something to line our lives up with. And you know what? When we line our lives up with God's Word, we're going to find out many times we're falling short. We're falling short. But you know what? When I fall short, I look to the Lord for my strength. He's my help. He's my guide. He's the wisdom that I need to make a wise decision. Amen?
Amen.
God wants us to look to Him. He wants us to rely on Him every day, because He will show us the right way if we simply look to Him. It's amazing in my studies in Scripture how often when I have a question, all I've got to do is open the book. Sometimes I've done it randomly. You ever tried that? Back in my early days, they said, "Pastor, are there certain books you use?" I said, "Yeah, there are. Not very many commentaries, just a few. But have a good Bible, have an understanding of what it says, and I've also got a good concordance. I've got an exhaustive, strong concordance." Why, Pastor? Because sometimes my memory is faulty. But I can remember snatches of Scripture. And when I get the Strong's Concordance out, I can remember a key word, and I can look at that, and I can trace it in Scripture. That helps me to understand what God wants me to do, how God wants me to think. And I guarantee if you do that in your own personal life, your life's going to be changed. You'll be into the book. God will be teaching you things, and you realize where the truth is at. The world may say one thing, God's Word says something else, and I guarantee you, if you stick with the book, you'll be in the right direction. God's Word will never lead you astray. By the way, there's more than one spirit in the world. Apostle John said that. Yeah, he wrote, yeah, there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world too. One to lead you astray, get you confused, get you challenged, get you thinking wrong. God wants us to think right every day. Because we get bombarded with propaganda every day. We do. Doesn't matter where you're at. They're trying to tell us something else is right when it's wrong. God's Word gives us the guidelines for life. Hey, don't be running off to the court of law and suing your fellow believer. Hey, did you catch what the apostle was saying? It'd be better if you just took the wrong and went on your merry way and trusted God in the process than making a big stink among all those unbelievers and say, "Look at them two. I thought they were Christians. They're not acting like Christians." Better take a fall and to cause a big stir. Why? Because it looks badly on the Lord Jesus Christ. You both say you're believers, right? Both ought to know what's right and what's wrong if you're following God's guidelines. Amen? God wants us to be examples of the truth. Look at Jesus in His life when He walked upon this earth. Did He suffer wrong? Probably the ultimate wrong. I would say. And why did he do it? For us. For us. Not only to provide salvation, but to show us the way. He says there's a better way. A better way. God's been good to me. I don't deserve the love of God. But you know, God's that way. When you really get down serious, thinking about what God has done in your life and how your life has progressed, I can remember those old days. How did you get me here, God? He just does it. He just does it. If you listen to God, try to follow His guidelines, they're there. It's not just to look at on Sunday. It's a guideline for every day of your life. God wants to bless us. Can you wrap your mind around that? God wants to bless us. He wants to use us. Me? Yeah, you. Right where you're at, God wants to take you from there and take you somewhere far beyond to a far more spiritual person than you are today. God is more interested in the spiritual than He is the material. That's the realm that God wants us to get into with our heart and our brain fixed upon Christ. Think of the place where the apostle said, "For me to live is Christ." Wow. In other words, when I'm living, Christ is living through me. Christ is doing His work through me. Think about that. Why? Because greater things will you do than I've done, Jesus said. Well, Jesus was occupying one of His space, wasn't He? Now through believers, He can work all over the world. And by the way, this is just extra. God uses individual believers all over the world, and especially in places where people don't love Christians. To be an example of the faith. Trusting God that He's going to make it work somehow, some way. Now, God is all about the miraculous. It's not you and me. It's Him working in us. The Word says God could have used the rocks to cry out. But God chooses to use us. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I'm here this morning to tell you, you have no idea what God is going to do next. I don't. And if somebody knows what God is going to do next, they're telling a lie. They don't know when. They don't know where. But we know how. God is going to do His work in the world. But that work begins in each one of you. God is active, not inactive. He's keeping us, sustaining us every day. We need to wake up and say, God, You've given me another day, another opportunity for You to work in my life. God, open my heart, open my will, that your will become my will, so that your will can get that. God wants to use us. Can you imagine that? Don't dwell on the past. But sometimes it's good for us to remember where he brought us from. And say, hey, it's not what it used to be, but it's not what it's going to be.
Amen.
Because God has greater and higher plans for all of us than where we are right now. Amen?
Amen.
No more suffering, no more pain, no more heartaches anymore. And you know what? It gets looking better and better every day. While we're on it, pray for those in the Middle East. First of all, pray for our troops. Pray God will keep his hand upon them, keep them safe. Deter the enemy. Get them confused. Give victory. Give victory, because God's the only one that can give the victory. It doesn't matter so much that we got fantastic weaponry. What matters is if we're on God's side. And that's the mentality President Lincoln had. We got to be on God's side. We got to be fighting with his heart and his mind and his strength. And realize that God is going to get the victory in the end. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's already been won at the cross. Already been won. So go bravely on. Go bravely on. Because God is the victor. Praise the Lord. Wave high that flag. Thank the Lord that there were those in the past that stood for the flag. And there are those who still stand for the flag. I'm proud to be American. I'm going to exercise my rights.
Amen.
I'm going to vote.
Amen.
And I pray that God will be glorified in the process. That God will help us all to realize we've got something to stand for. We've got a Lord who's King over kings. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day, he is coming again. And in the process, things will get kind of messy. Praise the Lord in the victory we have in Jesus Christ. You see, Paul said in verse 3, hey, you guys can't decide among yourselves and come to a reasonable conclusion. You're going to judge angels. Probably referring to the fallen angels. Amen?
Amen.
It says it right there, we shall judge angels. Verse 3. You better be able to discern what's right from what's wrong. Because I guarantee you, every decision has two answers in God's mind. God says things are right, things are wrong. God, help me to understand. Help me to know what I ought to do. Help me to know what I want to say. God, help me every day. We all need help.
Amen.
We're all special ed. And I'm glad God has allowances for us, aren't you? That God has allowances for us. Spiritually, that's where I'm at. And for all honest, that's probably where we're all at. We got to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We got to be more like Him. We got to be able to and willing to suffer wrong even when we're right. It's more important to honor the Lord in all our decisions than to be hateful and hard to get along with. We got to be caring and loving and sharing with others. It's exactly what Jesus did. May the Lord help us all to be that way. To care about others right where they're at. Sometimes it's not easy. But I guarantee you, if you pray, you ask the Lord for strength and guidance along life's way, He will help you. He will encourage you. Yes, He will use you to be a blessing to somebody else. Even when you face adversity and hard times. God can make enemies become friends. When He comes in the door. Lord, your heart. Reach out. Others. Say, I care about you. Not just in word, but in deed. May God help us to do that this week. Heavenly Father, we summarized what you said in these scriptures. We realize that the only reason we can do what you call us to do is because of the three things in verse 11. We've been washed, we've been sanctified, we're justified in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to live like we are. Use us for your glory. Help us to look to you for strength every day and realize you're there to help us by means of your Spirit, by means of prayer to you. You change hearts and lives. Help us to make a difference in our world, we pray. We ask this in Christ's name.